lawmakers of the world who are seeking out the truth on everything. To watch, go to Brighteon.com, click on the Espanol live stream, and prepare to hear the truth in a whole new language. Brighteon TV in Espanol.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Sheriff Matt Show starts now. Sheriff, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam. Great to be back with you this beautiful Tuesday morning. Thanks for being here.
You betcha, brother. Now, you got a great quote from the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in the greatest country on the face of the earth?
And I'm quoting Justice Antonin Scalia, who wrote this amazing, miraculous decision, landmark case, the only time in U.S. history where sheriff sued the federal government and won at the United States Supreme Court. Quoting, residual state sovereignty was also implicit, of course, in the Constitution's conferral upon Congress of governmental powers, but only discrete enumerated ones, end quote, which was the intent of the Founding Fathers and the purpose of the U.S. Constitution to keep the federal government limited and surrounded by constitutional parameters. So it's time to get
where
it back.
Where did we go wrong on one hand, ladies and gentlemen, but where did we go right when Richard Mack went all the way to the Supreme Court and created a smack? We highlight Mack and smack down to Bill Clinton and crew. And speaking of that, our guest has a smack down t-shirt on with Mack being highlighted for Richard Mack. It's a new sheriff shirt they're putting together. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the two red pills. Soph and Jen, who do you got? You got Jen Orton and Sophie Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. And they claim Utah's plagued by corruption and fraud, especially in elections. That's what the two red pills are warning. You want to learn more? TwoRedPills.org. And wow, have we got a barn burner half hour for you. Welcome, Jen.
Hello, how are you?
We are doing fantastic, except for I hear, and I can't believe this, but Utah is the second most corrupt state in the union when it comes to elections.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to everything, that's the worst part of the whole thing. It was a 2021 study, so it's a recent one, that found that we were second only to the state of Vermont, actually, in all-around corruption. And unfortunately, we have to agree with that. In fact, I dare say we're kind of right on Vermont's heels to take over number one based upon what we're seeing here. We're an absolute nearing, and I think, a tyrannical state. The government overreach here is unprecedented for our own state, and it's happening at a daily rate that alarms all of us. People are waking up left and right here finally and going, what in the world is going on in conservative Utah?
All right, give us a 30-second on the study.
The study of they did a number of different things that they looked at. It was from the number of bills passed, as decisions of the government leaders. I mean, oh my gosh, there was like so many criteria that they looked at. You know, financial regulations, how they acted with legislatures, and you know, things like that. Even at the United States level, corporations coming in. I mean, the whole gambit. And I think that's what they're seeing, is this pattern of Utah being infiltrated, possibly, and I believe it is the case, intentionally with a lot of these tech giants, a lot of, you know, we got the NSA here. We have a lot of the big names nationally that are suspect. We got Google here. We've got Amazon here. We've got Facebook here. And tons of tech companies that are really setting us up to be what we believe.
I got to interrupt you right there. Did they include that the state elected Mitt Romney?
No, because for sure if they
That's got to be on there.
Yeah, but let's be very clear. The state didn't really elect Mitt Romney, though. In my opinion, fraudulent elections are how he got elected in the first place. Remember, they circumvented a lot of the caucus systems. The caucus groups rejected Mitt, but he was able to circumvent that with latest manipulations and use big money in the media to skip all that. Right, Jen?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Sophie's on. Can you guys see her?
Hi, Sophie. Welcome.
Hi. I just, if I can interrupt really quickly, you were talking about how these people, they circumvent the caucus system. Jen and and many Utahns are just so incredibly frustrated with SB 54 here in Utah. It has allowed these leftist rhinos who have this globalist agenda to be selected instead of elected. They go out and start gathering signatures under the guise of wanting to show grassroots support, when we really know they're absolutely scared out of their minds that the caucus and the people of their state do not want them to represent them. And so they basically.
Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, so basically what she's saying is that there was a bill put in 2014 which allows these candidates who cannot get the support of the people to buy their way into office by gathering 28,000 signatures, including that is exactly what happened with our Governor Cox. Again, that when the people aren't supporting these people, they go buy their way in. It's a horrific law. We need to get it repealed immediately.
Amen to that. And that's how Mitt Romney got into office. I wanted to highlight that because I don't want people to think we really voted for this guy. The Utahns didn't really put this guy in place as you might think it to be. Selected rather than elected is the best way to put it. I concur with that assessment. Now, there's a backdoor, unbelievable election data exposed. Jen, do you want to talk about this? Because this is really how you discovered a lot of I don't know what you want to call it, corruption and shenanigans that have taken place, this backdoor to the information, right?
Yeah, you're talking about the presentation I did at Mike Lindell's event in Missouri. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so Sophie and I have been working on trying to figure out who these players are. One of the things that she came across that was really astounding was getting records from the United States Postal Service. Sophie, can you hear me?
Yep, say yes, that again.
I can.
Okay.
That's really important.
I make sure
say that
on.
One more time.
So Sophie got some information from the United States Postal Service that showed relaxed deadlines and other things that were showing the collusion with the post office and the elections. So what I started to do was dig into Utah County, who is one of the few counties in the United States right now who I believe is a test model for a specific GIS, geo-enabled systems, which they usually just do the mapping and redistricting. But they also are coming to certain counties and having specific elections departments, which is really scary to have this very advanced, technically savvy set of staff members who are, you know, digging. These guys are bright people digging into our elections with many, many, many layers of data that the public has no insight into. In other words, there is oversight into the elections, but no insight. I'm sorry, they have insight into the elections with no oversight of the public. And that's really the problem. So what I saw here in Utah County was a very complex mobile phone app. used by the county clerk. We have screenshots of it. We have everything that shows that she has visibility into the election data. And I'm talking ballot boxes, not just what's in them, but what's expected to be in them, in collusion and cooperation of the United States Postal Service, saying, gosh, this is how many we expected. Each of these districts, 2 to 3 days in advance, they know what's coming. This is not available to see for the public as fully as it is. You can scale down to a house level to see what is projected to be voted for. I think it's kind of a violation of privacy.
Jen, it's not available to our elected officials either. If you ask the county commissioners, if you ask the sheriff, if you ask the DA, they either don't have the information either, and or they pretend they don't have it, right?
Exactly. And again, it's this GIS department, which I am not in any way saying these guys are nefarious. What is nefarious, in my opinion, is the fact that these election people who are ordering this department can do a whole lot of stuff with the data. And I don't know that that's really been made public before Patrick Colbeck and I did our presentation. Again, the visibility 2 to 3 days before an election gives you plenty of time to do what you need to do, possibly including print new ballots, redo things, you know, trade. I mean,
it also presupposes an outcome, which we should not know beforehand. And if we do know beforehand and we presuppose this outcome, that alone is questionable as well. It makes you almost wonder. It reminds you of the gambling halls on sports. You know, how much of this is fixed or rigged or do you know, et cetera. Sophie, do you want to add to this?
I think she's having connection problems.
All right. Sheriff Mack, you want to jump in right here?
Well, yeah. A analysis, if you will, Jen, on elections, especially on swing states. And I know Utah isn't necessarily considered that, but because it's so corrupt, maybe it is. What major elections are happening in Utah this year on November 8th?
Jen?
Sophie, are you on?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Sophie.
Yes, why don't you tell them about the major election of Mike Lee going on right now?
Yes. So Mike Lee, who is our very best option for Utah right now, is going against Evan McMullen, a leftist, liberal person that no one in Utah needs to be running any kind of policy here. And what the media is doing here in Utah and the rhinos and establishment and the liberals, what they're doing is they're creating this narrative that Mike Lee's race and Evan McMullen's race is neck and neck. And anyone that lives in Utah knows this is absolutely not true. And so for Jen and I, it's this very scary, methodical process that the media and the rhinos and the establishment, all those people I just mentioned, use so that when the election is manipulated and the machines do what these people want them to do and select who they want to select, people aren't shocked because
in other words, the outcome matches the propaganda.
Thank you. Yes. Perfect. That's exactly what this is.
Sheriff?
Well, yeah, normally you would think that Mike Lee would have time in Utah. And isn't the person, what's his name, running against
Evan
him?
Evan McMullen.
But he's not running as a Democrat, right? He's running as an independent or non-party?
Right, correct.
Yeah, he wanted to be a Republican and then basically lost and now wants to stay in the race, right?
Yes, but he did get the backing of the Democrats. They've been very vocal and open about this. They're saying he is our candidate, actually. So he is the one running against them for the Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, how about any other state offices? Are there, like, Secretary of State? Your governor doesn't run this time, right?
No, we'll have the unfortunate chance to see him again in two more years running.
That's the biggest election on the table to discuss, but there are other races that do matter, though. But it's not any big name candidates. It's not being focused on, but some of those outcomes matter at the county level. Some of the other local elections do matter. And those could be election fraud just as easy as others, Sophie.
100%. I would argue, and I think Jen would agree with me, that those county races are just as important as these statewide races, because many of those people that are going to be elected are their county clerks that determine our elections. And there is one particular county clerk in Weber County that we are so concerned about. In this June primary, we have many affidavits.
There she went again.
They have many there's a county clerk named Ricky Hatch. He is a member of the CTCL Advisory Board. He's a member of EAC Advisory Board. He is involved with the Department of Homeland Security and other cybersecurity groups. And he is also the head of the state county clerks, and he is on the National County Clerk Association. This man is very, very well connected. And what Sophie was saying is that we have many affidavits, multiple affidavits from people in Weber County who were poll workers who said, we went into the primaries on that Weber County race, and Ricky Hatch, it already showed on the board, you know, from they got there right from the start, but it showed on the board that he was up 9,000 votes to 3,000 votes for another candidate who was very well known, being a former mayor and a very conservative person in a very conservative place. What's interesting is that Ricky Hatch, of course, runs his election. He wins by the exact same proportion that those 9,000 to 3,000 votes had. In other words, the percentage difference stayed consistent throughout the entire race. I mean, statistically, yeah, so that's almost impossible.
The question becomes, how do you start so far ahead, but then it doesn't change over time? What the heck is up with that? Here's the question for Jen and Soph as well, if she's there. How, I know that Utah is an ERIC contracted state, E-R-I-C, ERIC. How does that fit into it? Because once the information goes into ERIC for voter rolls, et cetera, we don't have the ability to do a FOIA request or a grandma request or any Freedom of Information Act kind of requests on the data. So how does ERIC play into this? I think that's a huge component.
Oh, it's so frustrating. ERIC has come into these states and said, hey, we're this organization that's going to help you maintain and clean your voter rolls for a yearly fee. We will just completely take care of your voter rolls. And it's very concerning to Jen and I that we didn't agree that our personal information would be given to this organization.
Well, and the personal information that she's talking about is height, weight, social security numbers. I mean, there's medical records as well. Why in the world is a third party organization able to have this? It's being fed to them through the DMV.
That's right, Sarah.
It's a problem.
It's a huge problem. And they claim that they're cleaning our vote when they're actually doing the very opposite. They're leaving thousands and thousands of either dead people or duplicates on the voter rolls, and it's kind of creating a blank check for votes when the election comes around. You know, if someone wanted to, they could just print these ballots in these people's names that are not even registered voters, but ERIC has these names on their rolls. And also something very is that
remind everybody what ERIC stands for.
Okay. Electronic Registration Information Center. And it was developed and run by David Becker, a Trump hating leftist, New World Order lover.
He's got George Soros ties, right?
Yes, he does.
And it's a private company. It's a private company. Yeah. It's not a government agency. It's not answerable to government. And then Eric comes in and contracts with the counties and the state and completely takes over.
Exactly.
Right. We need to sue Eric, and we also need to have our state get out of Eric. I don't even know how we got into a contract like this. There's so many laws broken. It's beyond imagination, Sophie.
Yes. If I can just say one more thing about Eric, the fact that with these states,
in these contracts
with our states, they say that Eric cannot verify anyone's citizenship. So basically what they're saying, the person, the NGO over our voter rolls cannot verify if the people on our voter rolls are actually citizens of the United States.
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are the people that run around and tell us we have no evidence of election tampering, election fraud, votes outside the law, whatever term you want to use to define this. Folks, listen, we have to preserve the data from 2020. Saving 2020 election data is critical, because what they want to do is just move us beyond that, as they get better and better and better at hiding the manipulated data, Jen.
Yes, absolutely. And first, just so you know, I asked for the Eric contract, as did Sophie, and they claim they didn't even have one. We've been a founding member. Utah has since 2012. We've been in this.
Okay, wait a minute.
Years.
If they don't have the information, we should sue them then for turning over the voter rolls without even an agreement.
Well, no, let me just tell you what happened. So they said they didn't have the contract, but I found evidence through a different public records request that the contract existed, and then they were forced to give it to us. So they are hiding what their own contract says from the people, which tells you how alarming the contract is.
Do you have the contract?
We do now. Yes, we do.
All right. I'm hoping you'll send me a copy. And who signed the contract?
It was Greg Bell at the time. 2012 for the original contract. But then again, the lieutenant governors, the Mark Mitchells, Mark Lees of the world, were continuing to sign that on an annual basis. But to your other point about the lawsuits, Sophie and I, as you guys are aware, back in December of last year, we developed this plan to save Utah's data. We did all 29 counties for 4 to 5 different pieces of election information, and we have been fighting this fight for going on almost a year now, and we are proud to say that we are still in the process. The data was not allowed to be destroyed, and we're talking ballot
real quickly
images.
Real
we're
quickly
talking...
Sophie and Jen, thanks for all you have done. Thanks for being on today. Thanks for being ready, Sophie F. Jen. Thank you. We'll talk soon, because we got lots to cover still. Thank you for being
all right
on
send me the contract, ladies, and we'll have you back on the radio soon as well. God bless. More in seconds on the Sheriff Back Show.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets. And the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Hi, everybody. Doug Billings from The Right Side with Doug Billings. Don't forget, Brighteon TV, the place to find everything that you want, including these two ladies. Holy moly, look at me. Do you think that God's not involved in this? You got another thing coming. It's a God thing, ladies and gentlemen. Join us.
We love you guys on Brighteon TV, Resistance Chicks, and Doug Billings.
Join us on Brighteon Radio, The Jim Price Show, their evenings. Make sure and join me for the daily update as I talk to you about the day's events and things we can do to make the world a better place and make sure that the world is what we want to be in the future. So join us on Brighteon Radio, The Jim Price Show. Thank you so much.
Treasure Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com says, 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal security during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments of real gold and silver are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. You can also hold precious metals in your IRA. This allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Your metals are held in the form of physical coins and bars in a private depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial security. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals, in business since 1976. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, since I'm from the great state of Utah, I got to introduce the two red pills. TwoRedPills.org, but Sheriff Mack from the great state of Arizona, so he introduces our next guest, Sheriff.
And he is a good friend of mine, and he's been very involved in politics and leadership in the state of Arizona. He is a former peace officer. He is from Tucson, Arizona area. And again, the most important thing is that Mark Fincham is a very good friend of mine. Mark, back to the show, and thank you for running for Secretary of State of the great state of Arizona. Welcome.
Thank you, Sheriff Mack. Thank you very much, Sheriff
Mack. Hey, Mark, what is your election website so people can donate?
VoteFincham.com. That's V-O-T-E, F like Frank, I-N like Nancy, C-H-E like Edward, M like Mark.com. We've also got something up there. It's new. The events tab. We've got a number of events, including a concert this coming Friday, location will be disclosed once you have a paid ticket, but it'll be Trey Taylor is going to be doing a country music concert up in Paradise Valley for us.
I love it. Great work. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Fincham is over the target. He won his primary. He just had a debate, and I want to take this on directly because the mainstream press is so dishonest, and their belligerent attacks just prove how desperate these people really are. So Mark was in the debate, and they asked Mark, hey, why do you believe your 2022 primary was legitimate, but you still believe that, hey, the 2020 election was rigged? They asked him that question. I think it's a fair question to ask. But you know what? They always look for a way for someone in the media not to respond in the most favorable way. And they're not telling the whole story on exactly what really happened and on your response. So I'm going to bring up a couple of details in a second, Mark, but I want you to get the first take on this, unedited, unscripted, but yet your chance to say what you want. What do you think? They're saying, hey, you got caught flat-footed. You claimed you didn't know. You claimed you didn't know anybody voted for Joe, and that's all there is to it. I don't believe that's the whole story, first of all. Mark?
Well, it's not the whole story. It's hyperbole. In fact, many people have noticed that that wasn't really a debate. That was a three-on-one bushwhacking. The moderators, the so-called moderators, a reporter from the Arizona Republic and a member, Ted Simons, I guess, is the guy's name. As soon as people in my camp saw that he was involved with this, they knew that this was going to be a three-on-one attack, which is what it turned out to be. But quite frankly, it backfired terribly. Folks saw the clean elections system for what it is, and it's laughable. In fact, we have another event coming up tomorrow with Univision, and I'm going to be able to go back and relitigate what happened on the first go round. But moreover, they made the assertion that the 2020 election was just fine. And the case that I tried to make was in 2016, you had Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Eric sleeping with
the
enemy swallow.
All the Democrats had election problems, to say
Barack Obama.
Yeah. And they were all saying that the electronic system was flawed, that there was a problem with it. And then fast forward to 2020, suddenly they're all happy with it. And I think that the point that they tried to make was that I'm an election denier, and always pointing out is, no, I'm not an election denier. I'm a truth seeker. If nothing changed between 2016 and 2020, but the candidates, that means we still have the same problems. But they don't want to talk about the problems. They were happy with the result. And that just highlights the hypocrisy with both parties, by the way. We've got individuals in both the Republican and Democrat Party that are problematic.
Yeah. And that's why they use the election denier term. Let me highlight this a little bit for everybody to understand. Yeah. Headline from the mainstream press says this: election denier Mark Fincham wins Arizona GOP Secretary of State primary. It's NBC News, and they call it projects his win. Now, here's what's fascinating. How do you, before somebody wins, start out saying election denier Mark Fincham is projected to win? Wait a minute. Why are you calling him an election denier? He's running in an election. He's not debating that this election is legitimate. How do you say he's a denier? Well, that's how they manipulate right from the get-go. If they continue to just throw shade, after a while, it's Zelensky's idea. Hey, if you just lie enough, people begin to believe it. But let me give you the highlight. In the 2020 election, Biden barely won. There's a debate in every state about how many votes, what, where, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in the Fincham primary win, just so you know, Fincham, that's Mark, on the TV with us right now, had 40% of the vote, okay? State Rep. Shauna Bullock had 19% of the vote. Bo Lane got 25% of the vote, they claim. So when you have a situation where Mark wins handily, the greater the lead is, the harder it is to commit your election fraud, people. So the reason that we say 2020 was a scandal is because it was really close, and they can manipulate very easily. When you're like Mark and you win 40% to the next closest is 15 points behind you, well, we don't think that you guys can commit fraud when it's that big of a difference, especially when you know somebody like Mark is watching this election like a hawk, and so are all Mark's associates, like me and many others who know how to dig and research, who will call a halt to the con game if they get caught. So the big reason is that you guys know you might get caught, and so you're not going to maybe commit election fraud in the primary when you might be able to win in the general election, so you're going to be very careful on that. But I digress a little bit. Now, they called Mark a denier. They also called State Rep. Shauna Bullock a denier. So let me get this straight, mainstream press, you thugs from the pit of hell. That means that they voted 40% for Mark and 19% for this other lady. So 59% of the people voted for election deniers. Or in other words, election truthers. or, in other words, people who want honest elections. 60% of the people voted for somebody who doesn't believe the elections are honest, who doesn't believe the elections have integrity. 60% of the voters. So to all of you who want to just mock Mark, shame on you, because 60% of the population agrees with them on this very point. Mark?
Well, actually, 67% of voters across the country believe that we need to improve election security. We need to address election integrity. I mean, everywhere I go, people are telling me stories about what they've observed, and they know that something is wrong with the system. Well, now you've got a captured media. We no longer have, for the most part, a free press. That's why news organizations like yours are so vitally important, because if all you're being fed is the tripe of George Orwell, 1984, what else do you have? So, you know, the fact that we have identified things that they can't answer, you know, I was trying to make the point with the Clean Elections team. Look, we've got evidence that has come up from the Arizona audit, the Senate's audit of Maricopa County. We're still going through some of the material that was turned over. And they don't happen to like Jovan Pulitzer. Well, I don't give a bloody damn if you like him or don't like him. The man has found something that is an open question that has to be answered. And that is that 140,000 ballot images, 140,000 ballot images, think about that, out of the millions that were cast, don't have an audit head stamp that was supposed to be automatically created when the ballot was counted. They also have a different file structure. Yet they were counted. Now, these are votes that are outside of the law because you cannot trace them back to the machine that allegedly counted them. Those are 140,000 ballots, which, by the way, those are the files that were turned over by Maricopa County. Now, as a Secretary of State, if my job is to see to it that only votes that are cast within the law are counted, and those votes cast outside of the law are not, you're able to go back to 140,000 ballots, do the count on those ballots, and subtract that result from the ballot images that are legitimate. The fact that there is no audit head stamp on those ballots makes them, by definition, illegitimate votes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Don't bother me with the details, election denier.
Yeah.
They're freaking out over that.
Yeah, that's how these thugs operate, because you know they're out of reality, they're out of debate, so they start to attack the messenger, Mark. That's all that's happening here. The people know it, and you're likely to win in November, and they are frightened at that reality.
Well, they're also frightened about some of the stuff that we have on Adrian Fontes. You'll notice that he was trying to go after me for my service record. Okay, this is a guy who's got an arrest record for felony flight. We have the police report. Okay, you've got that. And then, as if that's not enough.
Other than that, it's not so bad.
Yeah, other than that, it's not so bad. Then you've also got a situation where he likes to go out on Twitter and make bombastic statements. Well, there was one where a constituent asked him a question, a legitimate question, and his response was, go F yourself, on Twitter. Apparently, he didn't realize that's a public platform. So I can only assume that, I mean, people.
Yeah, but Twitter won't take him
like
down for that. They'll take you down for being an election denier, but they won't take him down for that, right?
Well, here's the other direct hit that I was able to make on. This was a slugfest, okay? We were able to land this punch. Lori Roberts, no friend to conservatives, okay? Lori Roberts writes in the Arizona Republic back on September 13th of 2020. Adrian Fontes is, quote, making up law as he goes along. This won't end well. It's a frightening thought. The guy in charge of elections can do as he pleases as long as there's no prohibition in the law. That's right. Now, one of the things that my oath of office requires of me is that I follow the law as written. And if there is a gap in the law, I need to go to the legislature, explain what the gap is, possibly make a recommendation on how to pass statutory language that covers that gap, and then abide by the law. That's not what Adrian Fontes has a history of. In fact, Abe Kwok in the same version of the newspaper said he made dramatically bad moments, recklessly irresponsible and deserving the boot. In other words, Adrian Fontes was fired for malfeasance, misfeasance, and maladministration. That's why he wasn't reelected. Now he's asking for a promotion. No, yeah. I don't think so. And that
I think we need to explain that a little bit. We need to explain that a little bit. So Adrian Fontes was the county recorder for Maricopa County, correct?
That's right, 2016 through 2020.
And then it was the election was such a mess and such
a show.
an absolute mess that they called for his resignation. And did he not resign?
No, he was booted out of office. But so that begs the question, what was the activity that the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors took? They realigned election responsibility. Okay. But I guess that's kind of like a solution, but it doesn't address the overall problem. You know, one of the things that I think is really important for us to understand is the executive branch is there to enforce the law, which means if there are grievances that are made by the constituency to the Secretary of State's office, if they are founded, if there's probable cause to believe that a violation of state statutes has been made, that referral needs to go to the Attorney General's office immediately or to the county sheriff. Quite frankly, I think it needs to go to the county sheriff, but you can't rely on some of the sheriffs that we have in office right now. So we have to develop a plan that will handle grievances, complaints, if you will, in an expeditious manner. Because once you have an election, we're on the clock. We have to certify that canvas in a very short period of time. And if people want to make a challenge to something, Secretary of State's office is going to have to be prepared to deal with that challenge.
Well, that is so astonishing because you're absolutely correct, Mark, that Fontes screwed up royally on the election and was beat in the election, or how, when you say booted from office, what do you mean?
Well, Abe Kwok said he deserves the boot. And I think what they were talking about is he ran against Stephen Richer. Now, there's some kind of bromance going on between Richer and Fontes today, but when Richer was running for that office against Adrian Fontes, he did a very detailed report titled Failure and highlighted all of the failures that Adrian Fontes engaged in while he was a county recorder. That's probably why Mr. Richer won. And I don't even know within the report, Adrian Fontes even was slapped down by the courts and his own Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs. He attempted to mail 200,000 ballots that people didn't ask for. And he had to be stopped, legally had to be stopped. So that's the kind of thing that you can expect from Adrian Fontes as a Secretary of State.
My wife and I were the recipients of six of those, Mark. I think I told you.
Yeah, you mentioned
my wife and I got three mail-in ballots each. Six ballots mailed to our home address.
Yeah, vote early and vote often. And
vote and vote often. And we never requested any of them, nor have we ever requested them. We always vote in person. Yet from Fontes, we got six ballots in a very strong Democrat area where we lived at the time.
One of the things to remember about that, too, is every one of those ballots is $2.50 to the taxpayers. Think about that.
Well, what's money?
$200,000. Well, 200,000 ballots by $2.50 in cost. That's the kind of maladministration and misfeasance that's going on, or was going on, would go on with somebody like Adrian Fontes in that seat.
All right, Mark, they also mentioned in the mainstream press, Mark, hey, Mark makes all these claims, this election denier makes all these claims, and there are no arrests. They lie. There's arrests due to election mishaps in Arizona already. There's arrests. Yep. What are they talking about? They just lie with impunity.
Yeah. Enough said on that. I mean, they wouldn't know the truth if it ran over them like a bus.
Well, where is the election now in Arizona? What's happening? Are there going to be any changes in November? What's the status now, Mark?
Well, we've got a couple things going on. There's legislation that I believe takes effect on September 28th. That's the 91-day marker for sign-e-die versus, many people might not know this, but on the day, the last day of the legislature, 91 days later, all of the legislation that was signed into law takes effect. So we've got a couple of things. Some of it is election
security law. And how about your lawsuit? You and Jerry Lake have filed a lawsuit, correct?
Yeah. So we filed the lawsuit back in April. The judge heard motions to dismiss, but did not dismiss in the moment. Then he went on to the evidentiary portion of the hearing, and he took evidence. So there's another misstatement by the Clean Elections PAC. There is evidence in court that's been accepted by the court. These are declarations by computer science experts and, quite frankly, pointing out the vulnerabilities of black box ballot tabulation equipment. That was dismissed later, after the primary, because the judge said, well, you don't have standing. Well, okay, let's walk through that for a second. Both Carrie Lake and I are competing for office. Her for governor, me for secretary of state. I am a registered voter of Pima County. She's a registered voter of Maricopa County. Those two counties were named in the lawsuit. At the same time, we just went through a primary. So for the courts to say you don't have standing, I don't know who the heck would. If we don't have standing,
yeah, exactly.
Then nobody has.
Election deniers never have standing, Mark.
Yeah, right.
Election deniers.
Well, no, it's truth seekers. Truth seekers. The election deniers, quite frankly, are the media. They deny that anything possibly be wrong with elections.
And that highlights the classic point of projection that they engage in every single day, ladies and gentlemen. If Mark is running for office and wins, how is he an election denier, ladies and gentlemen? He just wants the details to be factual. He wants a candid, transparent election process, which they're denying him the ability to have. Mark?
That's right. And so now our case is in front of the Ninth Circuit, which the question is the application of the standing rule. And our attorneys tell us that the judge has not followed the proper rule for standing. He's misquoted
he misused it.
So misapplied it. So, you know, we're waiting for the Ninth Circuit to make a ruling, and really we're asking for one of two specific reliefs. Either allow us to inspect the code to see if there is any nefarious executables in that code, or cease the use of those machines until we can prove that they are indeed secure and that the code does not flip votes. Now we need only go to Tina Peters in El Paso County up in Colorado. When she demanded a hand count and paid for it, by the way, they found a 62% error rate on Dominion equipment. 62% error rate. Think about that. She actually won
but
the election.
It's not enough. It's not enough to change the outcome of the elections, Mark.
Yeah.
Remember, Attorney General Barr said so. Yeah.
So 62%. Where we're at right now.
You want to know why they're election deniers? Because they don't like the fact that they denied us the election. That's why.
Maybe that's it. So we've got some polling in. Last week, we saw a poll from the Trafalgar Group, which is a highly recognized authoritative polling organization, kind of like McLaughlin. We're at 7 points, plus or minus 3 points, margin of error. OH Predictive here in Arizona did another poll. We are 5 points ahead of Fontes. And keep in mind, this is an interesting highlight. Adrian Fontes is spending a ton of money on advertising. He's on radio. He's got signs everywhere. We have not dropped a penny in advertising yet. So the question is, has Adrian Fontes already peaked out? And if that's the case, and we're still 7 points ahead by Trafalgar, when we start advertising, we expect his numbers to tank because we're going to do some things. We're going to highlight some things in his past that he can't explain. For example, living outside of the law, both personally and professionally. He does not want to follow election law. He wants to do everything he can to interfere with our elections.
Mark, thanks so much for being here, brother. Wish you good luck. Again, your website?
VoteFinchem.com. That's VoteFinchem.com. Click on the events tab. Would love to see you at the concert coming up this Friday.
Thanks, Mark. Archives at Brighteon.com.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, a notice of appeal was filed regarding the Mark Fincham, Carrie Lake lawsuit. What happened is the judge said they don't have standing, and now their attorneys are debating and challenging the judge's, quote, malus, if you will, of what standing is. So a notice of appeal was filed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on this thing on Wednesday by the attorneys for Trump-endorsed gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake and Trump-endorsed state representative Mark Fincham. They basically say, look, folks, they say that we don't have standing. What we're pushing for, this is Mark and Carrie, we're pushing for the rejection of the use or the stopping of the use of these electronic voting machines due to the fact that the devices have security vulnerabilities, Sheriff. This is the core of the lawsuit. So what I find interesting is the judge isn't even willing to debate the security of the machines. He just wants to stop them and say you don't have standing. Well, who the heck has standing on election machines and the security problems relating thereto than actual candidates for office, Sheriff? Who would have more standing than that? This is the problem that we're seeing, Sheriff.
Who would it be? Who would have standing then? It's basically the judge saying that no one has standing. If a candidate for office can't ask for truth in elections, and a candidate who's already won the primary, both of them have won the primaries, both are ahead in the polls, and they can't challenge how the votes are tabulated and these machines that both parties, the biggest leaders in the Republican and Democrat parties, both have said that these machines are not reliable. And then somebody sues to try to verify that and to get some sort of change in the process, and they say they don't have standing. There could not be a more ridiculous ruling ever, because then that means that no one has standing.
That is the quintessential point, and that's why the appeal. Well, the mainstream press is writing all these hit pieces saying, yeah, Mark Fincham's lawsuit, another one bites the dust, and hey, the lawsuit he lost, and this and that. Look, you can't say someone's lost when they appeal. Okay, you can say they might have lost the first round and then highlight that it's based on standing and give the details, but it's dishonest to just say, hey, it bit the dust. No, the court case is still alive, ladies and gentlemen. And oftentimes, judges get overruled, just so you know. But see, that's how they manipulate the narrative, dishonestly. The mainstream press needs to be called out on this dishonesty. If it was their guy, they'd write it completely different. They'd say an appeal over standing is in the works and the lawsuit's still alive, which is really the truth. That's what they'd say if it was their guys. But they're dishonest, and we highlight their dishonesty at every turn. Hour one of the Sheriff Mac Show, simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live in the can. Liberty Roundtable Live on Brighty on Radio and the Loving Liberty Networks, lovingliberty.net, continues in seconds. Stay tuned. Bushman and Mac on your radio coming up. God save the Republic.